So thankful for your presence this evening. Have a good number tonight, have a good number this morning. And we have many things going on here at Pleasant View, and we will, of course, have our Hillcrest service will be next Sunday, the first Sunday in December. We'll meet there to have a service there next Sunday afternoon. Look forward to that. Of course, we'll have our baskets or bags to hand out to the residents. It's a great blessing to them and us as well, and being able to provide that for them. So that's going on. We have our dinner in a few weeks at across the street. We're so thankful to be able to do that. So good to be with this congregation and to do all the things that we do, just love one another, just worship the Lord together, and serve Him, and it's a tremendous blessing. We're talking this evening about how to live a long life. So I know you're thankful that you came to church tonight to learn how to live a long life. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we're thankful for this time that we have this evening to be able to end the day as we began the day and worship to you this first day of the week. We have many trials and temptations in this life, and each person in this room is facing things on a daily basis that are not known to the rest of us, but you know their struggles, you know what they're facing, you know that of the burdens that they carry. We pray that you put your hand upon each person here and bless their lives and give them courage and strength. And we know that you're the same God that tore down the walls of Jericho. You're the same God that led people out of Egypt. And we know that you're the same God who sent your Son to die on the cross for us. So we know that you love us. We know that you are strong in what you can do in our lives. And we pray that your will be done in all things. We know there are many who are sick this evening. They're not feeling well. We pray that you lift them up and strengthen them and heal them. Bless our study tonight. May our minds be open, may our hearts be open to your word, and so that we can be better Christians tomorrow than we were last week, that each day of our lives we can be more and more like Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. We are, as I said, looking at how to live a long life. You are presented every day with answers to that, or ways to do that. You turn on the television, someone will say, this is how you can do that. Listen to the radio, they'll say, if you buy this product, take this pill, do this activity, it will, of course, lengthen your life and, of course, make somebody else very wealthy. But we are hearing those messages every day, how to live a long life. We're in a youth-driven society. Everything is about young people, being young and staying young, and marketers go after young people because they don't have the bills that older people have. They have more disposable income. So things are designed for young people. They know young people are going to buy things. And so it's the extension of life, having vitality in life is such a big subject in our culture and in our society. The Bible presents some indisputable facts relating to life. And these are things that you would probably know. A few of these things you would probably know if you never opened a Bible. But the Bible says they are indisputable. They are just simply facts. These are things we can't pray away. We can't pray these things aren't going to happen because the Bible says that they are going to happen. Life is brief. First thing we can know about life is simply that it doesn't last very long. And somebody says, well, you know, 50 years is a long time, 75 years, 100 years, some people now are living that long. And you say, that's a long time. 365 days in a year times 70, 80, 90 years, it's a long time. Well, not till you notice that people die at much younger ages. And we know that someone's age, that varies depending on the length of lives today. And James tells us in chapter 3 of his book that it's just like a little vapor. It's a great image to think about in terms of life. So it's here for a second, then it's gone. It vanishes away. Compared to eternity, of course, it hardly registers in an amount of time. We know life is brief. You say, I'm going to do things later. I'm going to do it another time. I'll put off that till this happens, you're going to keep putting it off, and all of a sudden you don't have the resources and don't have the time and don't have the health. And life, you would say, is all in the past. You say life also speeds up. It's not only brief, but the end seems to get here quicker the older you get. We all have that feeling in our lives. Job says that life is full of trouble. The second indisputable fact of life. It's not only short, but in the short time that we're here, we face a lot of trouble. It is not easy to live every single day. Yes, we are blessed in so many ways. Yes, we have so many conveniences of life. But at the same time, we still face the challenge of temptation every single day from Satan. Satan still puts in front of each person things that will draw us away from Christ. And that's a challenge. And the challenge of providing for a family, even though the cost of things keeps going up, and saying, how can I do this for my family? How can we have health insurance? How can we have these simple, basic things that we need to have? That's a challenge. We can list all the many things that challenge us every day. There's a lot, even though we live in such a prosperous country. Life is full of trouble. We live in a world of sin and death. Ever since the earliest chapters of Genesis, we are now living in a time that sin happens. Sin produces death. Sin produces heartache. Sin produces a lot of trouble. So the Bible is true in saying that this life is full of trouble. We also know in the book of Ecclesiastes that when Solomon finished studying life and what life has to offer and all the things that life can give you, he says, the conclusion of the whole matter is this, to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. All those things he experimented with in life, he said, you know, if you just do them, they aren't really satisfying. It's like chasing the wind. You're never going to get there. You're never going to catch it. The person that's already wealthy, what do they still do? They try to make more and more money. The person that has a bit of fun, a bit of joy in something, they want to keep having it over and over again, become obsessive almost about it. He said, you can be obsessive about something and keep having more and more, and you'll still never really feel satisfied. The only real meaning of life is when we fear God, have a healthy respect of God, and keep his commandments. And that's where you really have satisfaction in life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, Moses says the same thing essentially in verse 20. That life is really just meaningless without God. Somebody who lives by themselves, away from society, and doesn't have much contact with people, if that person is faithful, that person can have a satisfied, content life. Somebody who's very wealthy, very powerful, and known by everybody in the country, and has everything his heart desires, and if he is faithful or she is faithful, and they can have a meaningful life and not find their meaning in their possessions. Life is brief, life is full of trouble, and life becomes very meaningless without God. We know that life will end. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 just states it very plainly. For inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. It's appointed for a man to die. Unless the Lord comes again before that happens, we're all going to die. It's an appointment. We don't know that's going to happen. None of us knows that, when that day will come. But it will come. The Bible says that everyone is going to die. It's an appointment that we have. And along with that, as we just read, there's going to be a judgment. We will be judged. All these things are facts that we see in Scripture. Paul was preaching that in Acts 17. He says God has fixed the day in which he's going to judge the world through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof by raising him from the dead. Paul says it's God fixed the day. So we have an appointment to die, and then Paul said God fixed the day, he's going to judge us. We're all going to die at different times, but there's one day God has determined that's where the world is going to be judged. And that's when we will know everyone in the world will be assigned their eternal place. Life is brief. Life is full of trouble. It's meaningless without God. Life is going to end on this earth. And we're all going to be judged. These are just simply indisputable facts that the Bible teaches us about life. But the main point of the lesson this evening is that faithful living will give you the best possible life. You say, I wouldn't be at church on a Sunday night if I didn't believe that. I know you believe that, but something you need to be reminded of. Because the temptation every single day is that living life outside of Christ, living life like the world, is the best possible life for you to have. The people of the world, our culture says, if you get away from faith, if you get away from belief in God, if you get, that's a waste of time. You're believing in something that isn't true. Satisfy yourself, indulge yourself. That is where life really has meaning. That's the best possible way to live. We need to be reminded of this every single day, that faithful living is the best possible life that you can have. It makes sense of everything else in life. It brings a contentment that you cannot find anywhere else. What does the Bible say along these lines? What does the Bible say in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27? Am I wearing glasses? I can't read. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep commandments. The commandments, for the length of days and years of life and peace will be added. They will add to you. Deuteronomy 30, verse 20, what we talked about earlier. By loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him, for this is your life and the length of your days. So we have the Bible, and just these verses, but others, talking about being faithful and how it will lengthen your days or allow you to have more days and things along those lines. But we don't need to misunderstand what these verses are saying. Faith is not calculated by the years that you have on this earth. Somebody says, well, the Bible says if I'm faithful, then days will be added to me. That's what Proverbs says. Well, it's not an equation. It's not as if somebody lives to be 100 and says, well, they're the most faithful person. They live to be 100 years old. It's somebody who dies at a younger age says, well, they're not as faithful because they died younger. They must not have loved the Lord. It's not what the Bible's saying at all. I assume that Methuselah did a lot of good things in his life, a life of 969 years. We know the answer to that trivia question, the man who lived the longest. But we don't know anything else about him, other than Noah's grandfather. That's it. So he lived a long time, and we know that he was probably a good person, but a faithful person. But the number of years he was on this earth really doesn't seem to connect to his faith. See, but faithful living will not shorten your life. That is what the Bible really is saying. Faithful living is not going to shorten your life. It is going to bless your life. It is going to give you a fulfillment of life. And that will lengthen your days in that sense. And the question is, well, what does shorten your life? See, the Bible not only says, look, if you're with the Lord and you're living faithfully, you can have a productive, strong life. Well, then the opposite must be true. Away from the Lord, you can have trouble. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. So glorify God in this. We can summarize that in saying that if you were to live recklessly or with recklessness, you're going to shorten your life. See, if I think and I know that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, then I'm going to live in a way that protects that. Live in a way that acknowledges my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to live recklessly. I'm going to do things to harm my mind or harm my body because, as the text says, I've been bought with a price. I'm not my own. How do you protect things that someone else gives you to take care of? When something is your own, you may treat it one way, but somebody comes along and says, hey, I want you to have this for a while, and I'm going to come back in a month and get it from you. I've got to go away for a while, but I'm going to come back in a month, and I want you to give this back to me. Well, you're going to want to give it back the way it was given. You're not going to want to damage it. Why? Simply because you know it's not yours. It's somebody else's. That's what Paul's saying. He said, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not your own. You've been bought with a price. Glorify God in the way that shows that you know that. We know a lot of people have shortened their lives by ignoring that fact. Make no acknowledgement that their body is not their own, that it's from God, given to us to use, to be good stewards of. And so they abuse their bodies with chemicals, abuse their bodies in all sorts of ways, live very dangerous lives, live very reckless lives, and their lives are shortened. Bible says you live with the Lord, you live in Christ, you live faithfully, and you can avoid all the recklessness and the things that might shorten your life in that way. The Bible also says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, that we should remove all bitterness and anger and clamor from our lives. I believe I've seen, and I think you would agree, that there are people that through bitterness and anger, bitterness is old anger, that through bitterness and anger, their lives have been shortened. Maybe not so much in the number of days that they've lived, but they've shortened their lives in the sense of the relationships they never got to have, the relationships that have been ruined, the experiences, therefore, they didn't get to have because they ruined those relationships. And it's because of that attitude that they've had in life that they have really shortened their lives. They've shortened their experiences. They've shortened the things that they can know about this life. So when we do what the Bible says from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, remove, we subtract, we get rid of anger and bitterness and all those things, all of a sudden our lives become much more enriched. If we avoid the recklessness, if we avoid the bitterness, all of a sudden we can say, with those verses from Proverbs and Deuteronomy, make so much more sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, for bad company corrupts good morals. Sort of a saying they had back then. We, again, knowing that to be true, somebody never read the Bible would affirm that, would believe that, said, you know, when I got around this person, I let this person into my life, they really hurt me. They hurt the way I think, they hurt my relationship with the Lord, they hurt all sorts of things. Well, that shortens your life. When you have bad relationships, when you have a bad spouse, when you have a bad relationship with a friend, when you have just people in your life that you let into your life and they start to chip away at what you believe and your faith and your perspective and your outlook, and all of a sudden you're not living for Christ anymore because of their influence. All these things shorten life. They limit life. How do you have a long life? Well, you have a long life when you're in the Lord. You have a long life when you're living faithfully. You can literally lengthen your days by being a healthier person. You can. They say all the time, the thoughts, the mind, your perspective, your attitude is better for your health, your overall health. We know how stress can damage our bodies physically. We remove the bitterness. Things get better. Life becomes so much more enjoyable. When we think about all these things, about how to live a long life, about how to live in Christ, we have to remember that you don't get to live two lifetimes. And it's something I think people forget. It's something you know, but you have to be reminded of. And sometimes you say it out loud. So write it down. Think about it. You don't get to live another life. You don't get to say, well, I'm going to live this way for a while, but that's okay because later I'm going to live another life, and then I'm going to get to do all that and be differently, do things differently, and I'll be more faithful then, but I'm going to go do this for a while. And we only get one life. We only have one time to live, one place to live, one opportunity to live. To use the things God gave you, to have the relationships that you have, to go the places you go. This is it. And so when Paul says in Ephesians that we need to redeem the time, take advantage of the time that we have, we need to listen. I only have so much time. You see that attitude come out in the writings of the Apostle Paul. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He's saying, I want to live this life. I want to keep living this life. I love living this life. I'm going to take advantage of every single day that I have to live. I'm not going to waste any more time. But I also know that I leave this life, it's a gain. He knew he couldn't live two lifetimes. And so every day he says, I'm going to live this day for the Lord. And that's why at the end of his life he could say, fought the good fight, I finished the course, I've kept the faith. And now I'm going to receive a crown of righteousness. There's an earnestness about Paul's writings in that regard. So we have to live every day with God. We have to live every day with him. We can't live any days without him. We can't live any days ignoring him. We can't live days with recklessness, with bitterness. We can't live days where we allow people into our lives that will shorten our lives. The Bible is very clear that the best life is the faithful life. Even though the world says it's not, even when the world says no, even the world says you're wasting your time, we know that we're having and living the best possible life. You may find yourself this evening not having lived the best possible life because you're not a Christian. You say, I'm a good person, I'm here on a Sunday night, but I'm not a Christian. Both things can be true. So we always offer an opportunity for you to respond to the Lord and say that I want to become a Christian tonight. I want to confess Christ and be baptized for the forgiveness of my sins. If you need to do that tonight, or you need to come forward and simply say, I've done too much in the world. I believe the lies of the world. I believe the message of the world that life is better. Those experiences are better. Maybe you find yourself being more worldly than Christ-like. We can pray with you tonight and try to encourage you in that way. Try to encourage you to be more Christ-like. Try to encourage you to in your walk with the Lord. Maybe something else on your mind, just a burden that you have that you like lifted. Finding your prayers to the congregation to be helpful in that way. Whatever it is, please come while we stand and sing together.